Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I was going to do, oh, how I love Jesus, because my dad always, he starts every service that way. And we already sang it. But I just can't help but thinking about Jesus, because he loves us. The Bible tells us that. Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided. My spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and gave my heart a song. Yeah. Let's talk about Jesus. Yeah. The King of Kings is he. Well, I told you last night, if we come back this morning, I'm glad you did, we'd talk about Jesus some more. Amen. You couldn't preach him enough. I'm glad for seminars. I'm glad for seminars and topical subjects and all kinds of things. But, man, you just do well to just stick with Jesus for all your... For 40 years, I've just been preaching about Jesus. And I don't have to stop and preach about the home if I get fathers and mothers in love with Jesus. I don't have to stop and worry about stewardship if I get everybody in love with Jesus. I don't have to have too many missions conferences if I lift up the name of Jesus, because Jesus changes everything. Can y'all hear me okay? All right, thank you. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 12. Whoever brought this water to me, God bless you. I ate too much ham yesterday. Hebrews chapter 12. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. While it's true that words can physically not hurt anybody, they do have an emotional blow. And if that's true, that wrong words can harm, then good words can help. And here's a good word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Who's he? You don't need any more, but he's the author. He's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and praise God right now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a word that helps me when I need help. And it's this little line in verse 2 that I want to expound upon this morning. Keep looking unto Jesus. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Word, help this preacher today. Help all of our hearts to hear from heaven and change our lives. We pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. This little phrase in verse number 2, it brings about special direction for our life. It yields to us its emphasis of devotion for our life. When we look at that one word in verse 2, the first word, looking in our text, looking unto Jesus, it changes our direction. In looking unto Jesus, that is a direction sign. I know there was an old song years ago, and I hope this won't offend anybody, but I know infomercial songs from the 40s and 50s that scroll up. I don't know all the songs. I wasn't alive in the 40s and 50s. But I do see the infomercials. I know the song, I was looking back to see if you were looking back to see, if you were looking back to see if I was looking back at me or something like that. But here's one, just looking unto Jesus. Just one look is all it took, as one of those infomercials said. I started to title that, but I can't get away from what the Bible already titles it, so I'm just going to call it Looking to Jesus. Amen. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. That term for the word looking is the word aphoreo. It has a special setting to it. It's more than a glance. It's more than an observation. It's more than a peripheral of 180 degrees that I can see from left to my right. And it has several thoughts, and I want to give you those thoughts in these three words that gives us the direction of our look this morning. This word look suggests, first of all, forgetting your present atmosphere. If I'm looking unto Jesus, I'm forgetting my present circumstances. If I'm looking unto Jesus, I'm forgetting my personal frailties. If I'm looking unto Jesus, I'm forgetting those things that verse 1 says that can and doth so easily beset us right here and not right now. There are 23 words in your New Testament that have some form of rendering of the word look. Look or behold would be a form of that. Or to see here in the New Testament. It's something you perceive with your eyes. One of those definitions suggests fixing your eyes. Or looking so intently, burning with your eyes. It's forgetting everything else and seeing one thing. You ever been called one-dimensional? If you're looking unto Jesus, that's a good thing. Being one-dimensional. Fixing my eyes. In the case of somebody that was blind and receiving their sight, it was simply to mean rejuvenated sight or new sight or a new look. But our word here this morning, looking, aphoreo, is found in its definition just this one single time in all your New Testament. It means to look away from everything else and look unto Jesus. You might say, if I'm looking away from everything else in the first place, I'm looking away from my sins. Thank the Lord, He took my sins I could no longer bear and buried them in the depths of the sea. He put them as far out of His memory from the east as the west. He'll never bring them up. He's not going to bring me back on Trump's charges, even though the devil may accuse and threaten to harm. 'Tis done. The great transaction has been done. I can look away from my sin. This word beckons us to look past our sins, look past our iniquity. Sometimes the old enemy drags up who you really are, what you have been. And sometimes, quite frankly, we're not free from sin. What we're presently doing that nobody knows about but you and your God. The devil trumps us up. As we look at what we used to be, our spirits sometimes get downcast and we get downtrodden. We find ourselves defeated, but we praise God. In looking unto Jesus, I look past who I am. I'm no longer looking at myself. Remember, He was our sin bearer. And we ought to be encouraged with Hebrews 9:28, just a previous page in my Bible. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Can I have a witness right there? I'm in on that deal. I take advantage of that bargain. Yes. Jesus took my burden. I can look past my sins, yes, because they're already cleared and cleaned, yes, and covered by the blood of the Lamb. I can also, in looking unto Jesus, I'm talking about my present atmosphere, what I'm involved in right now. I can look past and beyond. I can look away from my present circumstances and away from my sins, but I can look away from myself. I'm my own worst enemy sometimes. I get in the way of a whole lot of stuff. If we're not careful, our own shortcomings in our daily living will get more attention than the Lord Jesus. Boy, it starts to hurt me when something gets more important than Jesus. I hear it all the time. Let's just keep talking about Jesus. I tell our folks all the time, don't invite folks to church. He never commanded anybody to get in church. He wanted them in Christ. Don't invite them to come hear your preacher. Invite them to come hear about Jesus. Don't invite them to come hear that choir that they make the CD and put on the internet. Invite them into Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, not our programs and not our procedures and not our next meeting. We just keep lifting up Jesus. Look away from yourself. Get yourself out of your ministry. In fact, I despise personal pronouns when it comes to ministry. my ministry, my people, my, hey, he bought them. If they're yours, then maybe that's why your church is in the trouble it's in. He bought it. Get your personal pronoun out of God's work. My itinerant ministry. My lifelong record of ministry. Hey, listen, you're nothing but a ball of sin. Saved by grace. Give him back ownership of what he rightfully died for. This is his church who gave himself for it. We are his people. I am his. He is mine. There's no you and your in it. Go back to English 7th grade. Learn where to put the pronouns in the ministry. I despise that. It's already been said around here this week. I don't hate you. I just hate your pronouns. Change your pronouns. Look away from self. Then we ought to look away from our situations. Some of you brought your resume this week. Some of you know a place. Put my name in there. Where do you know that from? Well, I've been in the ministry for 40 years. I know what preachers do. And preachers never want to leave their church unless there's a situation. But some folks stay like that one because he looked past the situation. Some of you men just need to get back where you came from and look unto Jesus and look beyond your situation. Well, you don't know that group that talks and blogs and writes and petitions. Well, you don't know that deacon or that woman or that music director. Most of it involves music directors. They want to push the envelope and look like TBN a little too much. Look away from your situation. What happened to Simon Peter in Matthew chapter 14 when he stopped looking at Jesus? He started drowning, friend. He started going under. Our circumstances so many times dominate our thoughts. I changed our prayer sheet on Wednesday night. I don't put any sick people on there anymore. I said, until lost names outnumber sick names, I'm not putting any more sick names on there. We come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and we go over the who's homebound and who's nursing home. And who's got the... We come to get everybody's doctor's report. Who's sister such and so seen this week? I'm not trying to be uncompassionate here. Listen, God knows I've been in the ministry a long time, and you don't stay in it a long time unless folks know you're compassionate and love them. But listen, if we look unto Jesus, can't we look past our frailties? I mean, I'm going to have a cornea transplant in a few days. That eye can't see anything. This eye sees enough. I've been walking around like this. What am I going to look like with a patch or maybe no eye? What if it goes bad? Next year you maybe call me Patches. I don't know what it's going to be. Somebody asked me, are you nervous about it? No, I've been seeing fine with one eye for about 20 years. I've been seeing okay. I'm not too nervous about it. If you're not careful, everybody in our church is preacher's going to have cornea transplant. Preacher's going to have a cornea transplant. Preacher's going to have cornea transplant. Y'all pray for the preacher. I wish y'all would have prayed for me like that before you ever found out I'm going to have a cornea transplant. Can't you just pray, period? Look, Pat, I'm saying everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a situation. Looking unto Jesus means looking past your sin, yourself, and your situation. Our circumstances may change. But as stated in this chapter, Jesus is, in fact, the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir. Culture change, and people change, and churches change. But oh, may we look unto Jesus and get beyond our present atmosphere. Looking unto Jesus means casting aside everything else. You got the definition? Then let's do something about it. There's your second word. Look at the second word in your text. Unto. For those of you that like outlines, go use it and preach it if it helps you. I have one preacher in Georgia. We put our sermons and CDs on the outline. I also put my notes on the outline, on the web page. And our bulletin, but we have the blanks in there so our people can fill them in if they want to fill them in. The preacher says, I've been preaching your sermons. I really appreciate that sermon, those sermons on the home you were doing. He said, I don't have time. Can you just go ahead and give me the blank so I'll know what's coming next? I said, God help you. Come on. Give me $100, I'll do it. No. No, yeah, but you preach it, and here's the notes. All right, here. Number one, forget your atmosphere. Number two, focus your attention. Focus your attention. It says unto. Now, it does not say, you got the wrong kind of Bible if it says upon. Upon is just looking and looking only. If my eyes are closed and I open them up and on you, upon. If you're higher than me, and he is, I talked about that last night, then that's just looking, that's looking up and on. That's not what this word says. It says unto. Unto is different than upon. Unto is, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. My feet were in the miry clay, and now they're on a rock to stay. So now, not only am I looking, it's looking with a pursuit. I'm looking at you, but I'm walking towards you. And here, Paul says, look, forget everything else going on in your life, your stinking sin, your sorry self, and your present circumstances, and be looking and moving toward Jesus. Focus your attention on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus denotes emotion. Looking unto Jesus is an action. Looking unto Jesus is a purpose. Looking unto Jesus is a statement. Looking unto Jesus is what all of us are to do. And you apply that, I wandered far away from God, now I'm coming. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not looking, I'm coming. Yeah. Home, coming home. You apply that term to your experience, and that means you ought to be in motion. Yeah. Well, y'all pray for me, and then explain, and meanwhile you're looking for prayer partners. Y'all pray for, you're looking for sympathy. Y'all pray, you're looking for votes. Y'all pray, you're looking for majority. Y'all pray for me. You're looking to win. But looking unto Jesus and going towards Him. Phooey on the circumstances. Phooey on the problems. I got a journey. I'm on a walk. And He walks with me and talks to me. You ain't Jesus back there, but I'm coming towards you. Looking, moving, talking. Hey, some of you just need to get your gaze straight and then start walking and moving towards Him. How would you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, get your vision unblurred. Unblurred. Now, I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. I take these things off, I still see the same. I just wear them for looks. They absolutely nothing for me. This is a perfect eye, 20/20. That's just plain glass. It's a fake. Might as well have a monocle on. But it does no good. I'm 20/2300. This eye. This is not even a real eyeball. I mean, there's nothing there. I look at that. I don't see much of anything. I see red carpet sprinkled with confetti. And I open this eye. Oh, it's people. I don't see much out of that eye. It's a wonder I drive. That's why I fly a few places. You don't want to be driving with me. We kind of go this way. If I'm going to focus my attention, let me hurry. If I'm going to focus, I've got to get my vision unblurred. You know, once you turn from everything else, once you turn from everybody else, I can focus my attention on Him and Him alone. Did you know that a photograph won't be blurred if the camera's focused right? Yeah. And if we're genuinely focused on Christ, all of our attention will probably be directed toward Him. Then it ought to be an unbroken focus. Well, it's one thing, I see Him as He is in His fullness and His glory, Jesus the Son of God, everything you just said. But then Monday comes and we get our eyes back on us. It ought to be an unbroken focus. In other words, the concept of the word unto is to mean I'm looking and moving towards and I'm not stopping. I'm not getting distracted. I'm continually looking. Not just when you get in trouble. Every day, continually, unbroken. That's discipline. Disciplining your hearts, disciplining your eyes, looking into Jesus with an unbroken focus. I have a registered, full-blooded registered Labrador retriever.
I fell in love with those dogs. In Goldsboro, North Carolina, one of our church members raised them. I got my first one years ago, and I've had several of them. My dog today is 106 pounds full of meat and muscle, male dog, all black, shiny coat, big bright red collar, shiny teeth. We take him and get his teeth brushed, his ears waxed, his coat shined, his nails pedicured. He is, now don't think he's a sissy dog. He's no homo dog now. He's just pampered. He's a pampered dog, but he's an all dog. I've trained my dog since he was 6 weeks old, and he's been in my house. He lives inside my house. He gets to go outside and chase squirrels, but he gets to come in every night and sleeps right on the floor right beside me. When he eats right beside me. When I snack, he snacks right beside me. I trained my dog. Come and see it. See if this is not true. Just come and say, "Old Murphy." He's named after Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Murphy. Murphy. Murphy sits there, and you watch him. He loves Ritz crackers or popcorn, either one. Ritz crackers the most. I can take a Ritz crackers, and he'll drool a stream out his, a puddle will be on the floor that my wife has to come mop it up. He'll drool a stream, but he never looks at it. I can go over there, his eyes won't move off my eyes. I trained him to do that. If he ever started doing that, I hit it, and he wouldn't get it. But when I go out there, his eyes are on my eyes. He looks at me. He might blink one time. He'll never take his eyes off me. He'll never move his head. He'll drool out both sides of his mouth. He'll never stop. I can put it on top of his head, and he won't move. Then all I got to do is this. He drops his head and catches it in midair. How'd you get him to do that? I trained him to look at my eyes. My eyes would tell him when I'm ready. He wasn't going to get motivated by the cracker. He wasn't going to get motivated by his hunger or his desire. He was motivated by what my eyes wanted him to do. You look at Jesus and get his eyes. Get his attention. It won't matter what comes in the back door. It won't matter what problem arises up out of the pit. It won't matter what gets dangled in front of you and lures you away. The devil can't get enough Ritz crackers to lure you away if you're looking intently, completely, only on the eyes of Jesus. Unto focus. It's got to be an unbroken, an unblurred focus. Then let me say, it has to be an unblocked focus. To look to Jesus, I can't allow anything to get between my soul and the Savior. Unblocked. I don't have time to let anything get in the way. Sometimes people get in the way. Sometimes we get in the way. On occasions, our own desires get in the way. Our own plans sometimes get in the way. Our position or our status may get in the way. May the Holy Spirit help each of us to truly turn away from everything else and look unto Jesus with an unhindered look. Yes, sir. Amen. Then lastly, we have the name Jesus. I saved the best to last. We could have just said Jesus and that would have been enough. But we're forgetting our atmosphere. We're focusing our attention and moving toward, thirdly, Jesus. May I say, fasten your affection. I didn't say your vision. Your vision. My vision will affect my heart. My heart affects what I can do with it. Love. When I look into Jesus, I fall in love with him more. When I keep my attention fastened upon him, he'll change my loves. I'll love what he loves. I'll hate what he hates. I'll shun what he shuns. I'm to fasten my attention. Looking unto Jesus means I'm going to transfer my affections. Whatever I've been looking to, I'm not going to love that anymore. Well, I'm going to transfer my affections to the Savior. It's more than looking unto him just out of sheer determination. Well, the preacher said. No. I used to hear sermons on we ought to be loving and compassionate. I'd walk down the aisle, "Lord, make me more loving. Make me more. I want to be more compassionate." I'd hear sermons on grace. "Lord, mercy. Lord, help me to be merciful. I want to be more on peace. Lord, I want to be more living peace." And well, the whole point of those Beatitudes is the blessing was the object. Those other things were benefits of a relationship with Jesus. If you want to be more loving or merciful or thankful, you hang on to it, he will change your affection. It's a transfer of love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. You know these verses. But Paul said, you Colossian Christians, here's what you do. If you are risen with Christ, and so I'd say that to you, hey, are you a Christian? If you're risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Then he writes a commentary on it. In case you didn't know what that means, he says, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. That's what he says here. That's what he's saying here. And in case you still don't know what he's saying, verse number 2, he said, set your affections on things above. Not golf. Not your retirement portfolio. Not your next car purchase or your vacation package. I hate to say this, men, but not other women. Not that 25-inch flat screen on your computer. I'm just saying, as long as I'm here, might as well poke a fire. There are three roles or positions ascribed to Jesus in our text. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, and then it describes him. Paul said, set your affections. Look unto Jesus. He's on the right hand of God. I have to think about Jesus. I don't have time. First of all, Jesus is the liberator. Just think, well, what should I think? And look about Jesus. Look on him as the liberator. The name Jesus means deliverer. The name Jesus means Savior. The angel said in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus, for he shall save people from their sin. We're no longer in bondage. My hands are no longer shackled. My life is no longer condemned. I am no longer depraved in that state, for I have a new name written down in glory. I have the Holy Spirit in the earnest of my faith living inside of me. I've got a title deed in my new home where I'm going. Look unto Jesus, for he was your liberator. He set your soul free, free, free indeed. Look unto Jesus. Then notice it says he's the author. May I say that he's your originator. He's the author. He hadn't plagiarized anybody. He's the originator. The great liberator, the great savior, the great deliverer said he's the author of what? Our faith. That word author, he's the one that begins. That it's a Greek term, archegos. It presents the idea of the chiefest of leaders or the preeminent one, to rehearse what I said last night. He's the chief example. Christ is your chief source. Christ is your supreme example of what? Your faith. Yes, yes. We not only have him to set us free, but we love him for originating and exemplifying what we put our faith in. Then, lastly, we see Jesus not only as a liberator, Savior, originator, author. He's the culminator. My Bible says he's the finisher. Yes. Culminate. Yes. Third truth. That word finisher, teleotes. Don't you like my Greek? I can't say it right. I have an Alabama accent. It indicates he's the perfecter or the culminator. Hey, think about this. Somebody say amen right here. He's my liberator. Amen? Yes. He is the originator. He's the culminator for his people in the faith. Yes. He not only perfected the faith, he finished it, what he came to do. Right. He'll perfect what he came to do, Philippians 1:6. So all my affection ought to hold on to him. Yes. He changes my affection. Yes. A student once asked his professor in Bible college, well, what if you don't even have the strength? What if you're just so beat down? What if you're just so weak you can't look to Jesus? And he said, then look and get the strength to look unto. I mean, if you're just so knocked down, some of you just one bad Sunday away from resigning. You're just one bad offering from throwing it in. You just one more time of not getting a paycheck, you're going to go sell cars. You're just one event away. May I say, would you quit looking at your bank account and look unto? Come on. Well, Brother Barton, you up there in that fancy suit and tie and that little hanky you got up there. You come from Florida where all those rich people are. They bring all your money from down here down there. We don't even have to pay taxes in our state because all those people come down there and come see us. Hallelujah to the Lamb for that. I wish I could tell you a story, it'd take too long, of the times of my life when it was God or bust. When 40 straight weeks in a row I pastored a church and never had a check, didn't have a job, stayed anyway, and worked through it. When the church was $1.5 million down, and when it's been $2 million in the black, stuck through it. What made you stick through? You must be one stubborn cookie. I'm not stubborn. I do like cookies. But years ago, I learned, as much as important as John 3:16 was, I got somebody to look to, and it wasn't Daddy. I have somebody to look to, and it wasn't the richest person in the church. I have somebody to look to, and it wasn't writing a grant. I have somebody to look to, and it wasn't a bond program. I have somebody to look to, and it was Jesus. Look to Jesus, and what you'll find in Him will change your circumstances. Well, how do you know if you need to look at Him? You might need to look unto Jesus, and He'll change your atmosphere, and He'll refocus your attention, and He'll change your affections. Probably. Who needs to do that? Anybody here need to do that this morning? Probably so. I keep preaching this to myself. I'm my number one congregant. Look unto Jesus if you love Him less today than you once did. That's what He was talking about last night. When the tears used to trickle down your face and now you got calloused. Now it's hard. Look unto Jesus when earthly interest excites you more than heaven's gain. I know preachers that live all year for their vacation. I praise the Lord for vacations. I'm perpetually on one, 52 weeks of the year. I live in vacation land. Everybody comes to see us, and then they want me to take them out. I'm broke. I have to come take to these meetings just to help people when I come down. They all come and spend all their money and need money to go home. When earthly interest. When we have no desire to pray, you'd rather worry about it. Can I just say that thinking about it, dwelling on it, not praying about it? You might need to look unto Jesus when you'd rather make some money. You might need to look to Jesus when your Christian life is joyless and passionless. You might need to get a fresh look at Jesus when you know the truth in your head, but it's never moved the callousness of your heart. You might need to look to Jesus when you haven't made any effort to witness to anybody in the last 30 days. You might need to look to Jesus when you have time for sports and activities and recreation and entertainment, and you don't have time to study and to pray and to read your Bible. You might need a fresh look at Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when we don't tremble at His Word. We might need to look at Jesus when we seldom think about eternity. Our eyes are fixed on the now and now instead of the by and by. We might need to look at Jesus when God's people are more concerned about their jobs than their Christian walk or their service for the King of Kings. And when church services are predictable and when the altars are dusty and when the baptistry has been empty far too long. We might need to look to Jesus. When your marriages are coexisting, I'm talking about pastors' homes. When your marriage doesn't exude the love of God for His church, the bride, you might need a fresh look at Jesus. Can I say, as one that's been married a long time with grown kids and about to be a granddaddy, that you have to work on that, men? Because in the ministry, in any marriage, may I say, in any marriage, distractions come. When my wife and I were first married, it was just she and I. But we were in love. We were in lust, too, if I could just say it. We were in love. We were in love. Man, it was just she and I. Nobody else there. We didn't have any money. We had a little one-bedroom apartment. We only had one car. I got four cars now. I've got a big brick home now, one block off the water. Then we had kids. Distraction number one, distraction number two, distraction number three. Then I got Murphy the dog, two cats, Dottie and Sandy. Distraction number four, distraction number five, distraction number six. Then I pastor 1,000 members. Distraction. What y'all laughing at? I went down your driveway right there, didn't I? And so when I go away, when I come back, I take my wife away. We're going to go somewhere tonight. We're going to get away. You have to work on it, man. If you don't think you do, you're going to have 30 years later, 40 years later, a passionless marriage, a coexisting marriage, not one that portrays the love of God for His church. And when you'd rather just exist than picture God's love for the church, you might need a new look at Christ. What motivated you to say that? A look at Christ tells me what kind of man I'm supposed to be, what kind of marriage I'm supposed to have, what kind of mission I'm on. Look, don't long for the company of something else. Long for the company of our Lord.
Amen.
Looking, forgetting, unto, moving toward Jesus. Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I pray that there's not been a fire gone out of our heart and our life and that we're not calloused over. But if that's the case, help us to get a fresh look on the Lamb of God. He's more than Bethlehem's burlap. He's more than just a body racked with pain hanging on the cross. He's our resurrected, victorious, supreme potentate of a Lord. Help us to look more towards You than ourself, our sin, and our situation. And to look only, continually, unto, as we're moving towards You. And Lord, change our affections. Change our outlook. Change our hearts toward this world till You come. Jesus, I love You. And thank You for letting me talk about You one more day. Amen.